don't have a partner. Sometimes I feel like my only friend is the city I live in, the city of angels. Lonely as I am, together we cry. I drive on the streets 'cause she's my companion. I walk through the hills 'cause she knows who I am. She sees my good deeds and she kisses the wind. And I'm never worried, now that is a lie. I don't ever wanna feel like I did that day. Take me to the place. Take me to the place I love. Take me all the way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's hard to believe that there's nobody out there. It's hard to believe that I'm all alone. At least I have her love, the city she loves me. Lonely as I am, together we cry. And I don't ever wanna feel like I did that day. Or take me to the place I love, take me all the way. And I don't ever wanna like I did that day, or take me to the place I love.
Greetings, everybody. This is Tabitha. Welcome to another edition of White Wellness. Today is September 29th, 2021, broadcasting out of New York for White Wellness Radio. That song right there was the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Under the Bridge way back in 1991. And I played that song for today's broadcast because we're going to be talking about our shadow sides, a side that all of us have, not that all of us acknowledge it. And I figured a song like that was a good song to play because it is kind of a shadowy song. It's a song about someone utilizing drugs. And of course, I'm not going to glamorize or promote the utilization of drugs, but that is part of someone's shadow side. Oftentimes, the culture likes to glamorize the shadow or hide the shadow or invert the shadow. I mean, we live in an upside down world as it is. Everything is literally inverted, or at least it feels that way. So the title for today's broadcast is Honoring Our Shadow. And the picture I used was a rather creepy dystopian transhumanistic picture. It looks like it's a female robot, if you will, and almost looks like a motherboard. And that's essentially the end game, what the Oyves and the Skeksis want. And that's what Oyed AI is all about. Oyed AI, of course, recap, was never about a virus. The vaccination was just the basically the other side of the virus narrative to keep it going. And now it's, if you notice, it's all about the vaccination. They're not even really focusing too much on, quote, the virus, because how can you? It doesn't exist. It's like the holohoax, right? But we're living in a time of the shadow, a time of a lot of darkness. And of course, going into the autumn and going into winter, those are times of darkness as well. And it's not that we should brush this stuff under the rug and never acknowledge that we have a shadow. Everyone has a shadow. It's part of being alive. Not all of us are in touch with it or want to. It could be just too traumatic for some people. The fact that people are just puttering around, going forth with the Oyed AI agenda, shows that they don't want to face their shadow, because they're essentially afraid to die, afraid to lose their employment, right? So that, in a way, is not facing one's shadow. It's cowardice, and it's frustrating when I see people just succumbing to it, saying like, oh, I had to get the vaccination so I wouldn't lose my job. No, you didn't have to do anything. You made that choice. I actually know someone who's worked somewhere for years, actually, and today was their last day because they refused, rightfully so, to get the Oyed AI vaccination, and they were terminated. And I think I'm proud of that person for standing up and saying, you know what, I'm not going to take your Talmudic, toxic, whatever, your crap. I don't even like using the word jab, because that's one of their words, right? Their Talmudic toxin thing, whatever you want to call it. Their injunction, if you will. I'm not going to take it. And that shows balls or ovaries if you say something like that. No one has to do it. We have so many choices. And one of those choices can be honoring our shadow, especially as we go into this time of year. It's kind of a good time to think about honoring the shadow. It's coinciding, not cohensiding, but coinciding with this dark time of year. You may have noticed it's getting darker earlier, right? You may have noticed the weather is more crisp. This is great stuff. You may be craving more warm foods. You may be craving heartier foods. And this is all in alignment with what we have going on right now with the seasons. So I wanted to open up this broadcast with a salt balancing spell. On last week's broadcast, Autumnal Abundance, we talked about a Mebon cleansing spell for the autumnal equinox. So today I want to talk about a salt balancing spell to honor shadow work. And I was going through again this little book, The Book of Spells, Wicca, Witch's Planner 2021, Lisa Chamberlain, this is for this year, a Wheel of the Year grimoire with moon phases, astrology, magical crafts, and magic spells for Wiccans and witches, or just for anyone who's in touch with their racial roots and isn't inculcated into Xianity or any one of those Talmudic pogroms, essentially. And of course, the New Age would be included in Talmudic pogroms. But here's a little bit about a salt balancing spell, which gave me the impetus to do a broadcast on honoring the shadow, right? So usually I have something that I look at during the week whilst I'm planning the broadcast, and I say, aha, that's going to be my focal point, and I'm going to plan whatever I kind of look into this week, whatever I study. I mean, in a way, the broadcast is kind of like an auditory journal, if you will. So here is this spell, salt balancing spell, how to honor shadow work. Shadow work involves magic to adjust or honor the not so positive qualities about ourselves, like a sharp tongue or bold tenacity, or working through and honoring emotional pain. And for this broadcast, the focus is more on the emotional pain than the not so positive qualities of ourselves. When I think of shadow work, that's kind of more what I think of, but I think all of it is, of course, pertinent. In shadow work, we accept that these parts hold value and have purpose, even if they aren't always enjoyable. And that's kind of like, the duality, I guess you say. Some people would say duality exist, just like people would say free will doesn't exist. I mean, you can get exceedingly existential where you're just chasing your tail after a while, but I'll keep it a little more earthy for this broadcast. This work is ideal during times of balance, the equinoxes, when the world's own light and darkness achieve a strong yet malleable balance. So what will you need for this salt balancing spell? You will need coarse sea salt, white sea salt, black lava salt, and this is a type of salt that actually is black. It adds like punch and panache like as a garnish to food, but it will, of course, make your food kind of black and it bleeds out. So let's say you put it like on a hard-boiled egg, you'll as it kind of causes the condensation, you'll see like little kind of like blackness like seep or weep into the yolk. You'll also need three smaller bowls, one for each salt, as well as some gray salt. And you'll need a glass bowl with water in it. So basically four bowls, one with water, three smaller ones, the three types of salt, the white, the black, and the gray. And this is what you do. Place the bowls of water and salt in front of you. With each of the following lines from the spell, sprinkle a pinch of salt in the water, going from black to gray to white to gray and then to black again. So essentially the entire color spectrum. Repeat the cycle, with the last line dedicated to a last sprinkle of gray, sealing the meld of black and white. And here is the spell. The embers fight the night, nightly chill. The earth that comes when life is still. It sits in the chambers of the heart and the hearth. Its battle made manifest on the grounds of this earth. They strike a ceasefire, an ancient truce, to acknowledge their facets and their positive use. A delicate balance of the highest self and the pain that resides in the deepest of wells. We honor the dark wind with the bright embers upon it, for even honey and vinegar make a strong, stable tonic. Pour a little of the water at the four cardinal directions of your home until all is poured. And I guess that would be done in the outside of the home. At first I was like, why would you pour water in the inside, like, corners of your home? Like, that's not really a wise idea. And I was like, oh, it's outside. I got it. And I guess if you had an apartment or a domicile that was a bit different than a house, you'd probably have to think of some creative way that you could do this, I guess. But yeah, a little spell right there. And it doesn't really take that much for this one. Most people have some salt lazing around. Perhaps you don't have black salt, but it's nice to do these types of things. Like I said last week, it's nice to have these rituals. Forget about their rituals, you know, those Zayo Dindu rituals. Forget about that. Who cares about any of that? It has no meaning, nothing, hollow, useless, vapid, shallow. So yeah, just a little something right there to start the broadcast, a salt balancing spell. Let's take a gander at the chat. We've got OG, we've got Epiphany. Thanks for joining us, guys. Epiphany's hopping on the treadmill as she listens. OG is chilling on the couch. Cool. So yeah, this is the season for the shadow. And definitely something that we should be thinking about. Like I said in the beginning of this, we don't really allow for this in this culture, unfortunately. We're always obsessed with all these things that, well, I think just keep us kind of in this daze, kind of like a ball going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It really doesn't behoove us or allow us to have any growth. And I think one of the reasons we don't really see an embracing of the shadow is because we're always kind of told or directed to kind of stay in this neotic larval type of arrested development type of thing where people are still children, you know, in their 40s, you know? I mean, back in the day at 18, you were like a man, you know, like you were able to get a drink, you were able to go to war, things like that. But now we have kind of like this neotic senescence in society where people are forever stuck in an adolescent state, but they've lost their youth because of all the allopathic, pharmaceutical, Talmudic, transhumanistic aspects that Zog pushes, womb to tomb. I did a show called Womb to Tomb about all the poisonings that Big Z wants to have you the day that you're born, before you're born. If your mother is getting vaccinations or eating crud or, you know, in a stressful relationship. I just saw something that said This is peak 2021. It said that all pregnant people, not women, pregnant people, right, should get the Iliad AI vaccination. I mean, this is just like peak for this year, right? First of all, I can't say woman anymore. Nope, that's not a thing. We can't offend women who are brain poisoned by the Zog Society, who have amputated, the parts of the sexual parts of their body, the sexual parts that will actually also feed their children. No, we can't do that anymore. And the promotion of a cocktail, which has never, ever, ever been proven to be successful. No vaccination has ever been successful. Have they been successful in euthanizing and permanently damaging people? Certainly. Have they been successful for keeping you safe from, quote, a virus? No, that's impossible, because viruses are solvents. They are soaps that the body manufactures when it comes in contact with toxins. And I have to say, I notice a lot of people now talking about this, talking about the Iliad AI narrative, how allopathic virology is a hollow hoax. I don't see that many people talking about the solvent nature of viruses. One of the only people I've really ever seen say that was the late Ogenius von der Planitz. And he was one of the people who really tuned me into it. And so thankful that he did that work. That was, I think, one of his most worthwhile attributions, was the work he did basically blowing the lid off of Talmudic allopathic virology, which is a hollow hoax. The entire house of allopathy, aka other suffering, is built on the theory that germs cause disease. It's never been proven because it doesn't exist, right? So I just keep on seeing a lot of people these days who talk about, you know, that it is the terrain theory is where it's at. And yeah, that's certainly true, but they don't mention that viruses are solvents. All they say is that viruses don't exist. Well, what does that like do for someone who's like still tarted, who's still caught up and inculcated in like literally every Zog psyop? If they just hear viruses don't exist, they're going to like just shut down and not even listen to you, right? It's like when you say anything else that's like really just kind of like recoiling, they're not going to get it. And I think that there might be an agenda in regards to like kind of promoting terrain theory in a way that makes people just recoil. Why wouldn't they be? Or why wouldn't there be? They always play both sides, don't they? Of course, you have to play both sides. And the best way to control the opposition, like Vladimir Lenin said, is to play or control both sides. They've been doing this for a long, long, long time, so they know exactly what to do. So I wanted to talk a little bit as I go through and talking about the shadow. And I always want to give, of course, ideas of how we can kind of make peace with the shadow or lift ourselves up, because I think that as this agenda progresses, and it will progress, they will go pedal to the metal. They won't stop until they're stopped. They're completely unhinged. Remember, they are transhumanized on the eighth day of their life, the men at least, not the women. So they are already the results of transhumanism, the UIVs. And I wrote something the other day on Talmudgram. I think it was just yesterday or so. Let's scroll up and take a gander. But I posted a picture of the Skeksis, you know, of course, from the movie The Dark Crystal, the 1982 Jim Henson film The Dark Crystal. And I posted this hideous kind of a black and white picture of a Skeksis. And it says the Skeksis. And of course, when I utilize that word, the Skeksis, I'm talking about the, quote, elite in quotes, because there's something elite about them. The elite Oyves, not the cannon fodder ones that they're killing with the vaccination. Those are Goyim Jews. I'm talking about the, quote, elite or the non-elite, the Skeksis. OK, so the Skeksis are a fallen race who are already transhumanized, parentheses circumcision, and are the worker bees of the transhuman establishment. And yeah, they definitely are. They are the system shills. They are the ones that are going to promote every, quote, progressive belief, ideology that destroys civilization, right? But the thing is that they've already been transhumanized. So people who have gotten the vaccination are already transhumanized. So if you want a good worker bee for the transhuman establishment, you've got to transhumanize them. So one of the most important things going forward, besides honoring our shadow and understanding who we are, what we've been through, we can all heal and dissolve the things that we've been through. I'm a big believer in that. I don't think that anyone is broken or, you know, just spiritually dead. We may feel that way at certain points in our life, but it doesn't mean it's permanent, because essentially nothing is permanent, because life keeps on going on and on and on and on and on. So nothing is permanent. Like the whole idea of when someone feels so terrible, if they're actually thinking of ending their life, that's not a permanent feeling. That's a permanent solution to a fleeting feeling. But when you feel that way, you oftentimes think, this is my only way out. And of course, you know, you have like a tunnel vision, but I think a lot of this tunnel vision, which we're seeing not just with people who want to end their life or have suicidal thoughts, we're seeing this tunnel vision with the entire agenda, with the whole abusive nature of this, because it's rife with gaslighting, it's rife with psychological abuse, it's narcissism on steroids, essentially. And I think when someone's being abused, and anyone who's participating in this psyop is being abused, right? Those of us who aren't are like the light bearers. We're like the Luciferians. Like we're full of like this light and this energy. And perhaps we've come to terms with our shadow, but we're not like wallowing in the darkness, and we're not allowing the Skeksis to abuse us, essentially. But anyone who is participating, LARPing in this ridiculous, redonkulous narrative, they have tunnel vision, because abuse gives you tunnel vision, because you feel so batted around, you feel hopeless, helpless, worthless. You go beyond learned helplessness to something called learned suffering, which is even worse, which people who were these oyid devotees, they have this tunnel vision. And when you have this tunnel vision where you can only kind of see out of like a monocle or through a tunnel, it leads to bad choices, because you're thrust into this primal survival mode due to fear. And you get into like this mode that maybe once you're out of this feeling, if you've ever felt like this in your life, and I have, so I know from experience, I speak from experience, you make decisions based on that primal survival mode, almost based on fear. So that's why a lot of people did what they did with the vaccination, wearing the costume, doing the public roboting, whatever. And you're essentially stuck in this sympathetic mode, right? This fight or flight mode, you know, brimming with cortisol and adrenaline and estrogen and all this like cascade of like the stress hormones. And you never allow yourself, because the abuse is too penetrative, you don't allow yourself, or you can't even allow yourself. It's not even about allowing yourself. You cannot get yourself out of this tunnel vision stead and get yourself into the parasympathetic, because you just are so just hobbled in this position. This is exactly what Big Z wants. They want us in this tunnel vision, but not really coming to terms with it and coming to terms with our shadow. And in a way, this creates like a simulacrum in a certain sense. It's almost like a virtual reality, because when you get into this deep primal survival mode where you're totally in fear and you're completely just acting out of like keeping alive, staying alive, essentially, it's almost like a virtual reality experience. And that's a lot of what Oyid AI, which is one of the most abusive pogroms of all time, if not all time, is, essentially. It is virtual reality, because it's only real if you want it to be. To me, Oyid AI is not real. I talk about it here on the broadcast. I talk about it with other humans in my life, whether it's IRL or the humans I speak with online, but it doesn't exist to me, because it's as real as you want it to be. And for me, it's not real, because the virus isn't real. The vaccination is just a way to get people sick. Like all vaccination is transhumanism, right? So it's only as real as you want it to be. It's like the holohoax. It's not real to me. Of course not. It's real in the minds of people who want these things to be real. And in a way, if you want these fake atrocities to be real, then you must have some like abusive tunnel vision. I'm not saying that people didn't die during World War II. Many of people died from typhus. They died from being firebombed. The Allies, the quote Allies, right, were firebombing Dresden, Stuttgart. Literally every major area of Germany was getting firebombed by the quote Allies. And I just saw something this morning that said 150,000 Americans have died from the Oyid AI vaccination. So I'm not denying that people have lost their lives, that they've been euthanized, right? euthanize is kind of a sanitized way of saying it. No one died happy with this, right? But these people are in the tunnel vision, right? And we really want to break out of that tunnel vision, and we want to see our shadow. We want to see the shadow of Zog too. I mean, Zog is all about shadows. So here is a little bit about narcissism that I posted the other day on the White Wellness Telegram, and the channel is growing quite nicely. I've got over 800 subscribers, which is excellent. And I had done these two posts the other day about narcissism. It's a topic that I've talked about before on the broadcast. Sometimes I just revisit it when I feel that it's necessary to talk about it. And I think right now, especially with Oyed AI and what people are doing with the freedoms and the choices and the abuse and the tunnel vision and the fight or flight and the learned suffering, I thought it was important to revisit this topic. So I posted a meme that said, "Don't mind me. I am waiting for a narcissist to change and apologize and validate the pain they caused." Well, I'll just cut to the chase and let everyone know, if you're waiting to do this, you will become blue in the face, because it is very rare that the person who caused you the abuse, who doesn't even acknowledge that the abuse existed, is going to validate it, because it's not real to them. Just like Oyed AI is not real to many people who probably listen to this broadcast, hopefully everybody at this point. So don't wait around, don't waste your life, don't waste your breath waiting around for someone who won't even acknowledge that they caused the pain they caused you to validate it, because they don't give a shit. And maybe you have to spend enough time in a situation where you've waited for this to comprehend it. But if you're in that situation right now, this is some sage advice. Don't wait for them to validate you. If you want to be validated, ask for a friend or a family member or maybe a compassionate therapist that's not an Oy Vey to validate you. Oftentimes, if one person validates you who believes in you, it can change everything for you, right? I mean, that could be the same way it is with this thing with Oyed AI. Like, I know someone who was speaking to someone who was on the fence about getting the vaccination, someone who's a foreigner in this country. And the person said to him, "Don't do it. The government is a piece of shit. It's a hoax. You know, don't do it." And the guy was like, "Wow, thank you so much. I always thought something was up with the government here in America, but it really, you know, changed my mind to hear it from someone who's a native, you know, who's native to this country." So oftentimes that one person can come into your life, whether it's online or in real life, and they can say something to you that makes you feel validated. But typically it's not going to be the person or the entity that abused you, because those people or entities, I use the word people rather loosely right now, they aren't even going to acknowledge that they abused you, let alone validate the pain, right? So here is a bit about narcissists doubling down. And you could say right now with what the Oy Veys or the Skeksis are doing with Oyed AI and the vaccine mandates and all this shit, this is an example of doubling down. Why do narcissists double down on their abuse? It's part of the process. One of the least understood aspects of narcissism is one of the most fundamental. Unlike a psychopath, a narcissist does actually have a rational reason for hurting you. It's messed up, but it is for a logical reason. The narcissist has zero self-worth. They have to validate themselves through others. Sounds kind of like the Skeksis, right? And a narcissist cannot feel love. So how does a narcissist judge either their worth as a human or how much you love them? They hurt you. And if you forgive them, well, you must love them. Now, when I heard that, and I've been studying this type of stuff for quite some time now, probably 4 or 5 years or so, I hadn't really heard it in that way before. And it kind of clicked and made sense for me. So I'm thinking like, okay, someone does something really shitty to you. It hurts you. You kind of forgive them or act in a way that constitutes forgiveness. They think that you love them. Like, never in my life, in all the years I've been alive, I've never thought that sentence. Like, I've never, because to me, it would never occur to me that way. I figure if someone hurts you, you back off from them because this is something that was kind of fucked up. Or if I hurt somebody, I wouldn't think that they loved me. I mean, you've got to be a really sick fuck to think like that, right? But how much do you love them? How great are they as a person? Because that's what love is to a narcissist, a reflection of how great they are. It's not how much you love them, how great they are. Well, if they hurt you some more, and if you come back, they must really be great because you love them enough to take it. So they hurt you some more. The narcissist abuses you as a way of validating how great they are as a person. The more you take, the greater they must be. See, it's all about they. Might as well have triple parentheses around this, right? So they want to be validated by abusing you, but they will never validate the pain that they caused you. I hope that's comprehensible right there. I mean, what a sick, twisted, fucked up bunch of shit, right? But I'm going through this because I want people to understand how this works. And this whole narcissism thing is just a little teeny, teeny microcosm of the big Skeksis, like, bubble, the whole fucking shitstem system. So it's important that we understand this. Crazy. Let's see, we've got some comments right here. Epiphany is saying, my sister-in-law is a retired nurse with numerous health conditions. She gets allergy shots every month and has her booster scheduled for the Oyid shot and doesn't think diet has anything to do with health. Wow, it's so sad how indoctrinated she is. Yeah, it's just like when you go to see Dr. Zog and Dr. Zog gives you the diagnosis and says you have X, and then you say, Dr. Z, is there anything I can do to change my diet that would help me? Oh no, this has nothing to do with diet. I mean, they have to say that, otherwise people would know in droves just how fucking useless they are. OG is saying, LOL, diet is probably one of the leading factors contributing to health. That's funny to think like that when she's a nurse. And Epiphany is saying medical school is a joke. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they basically, I think of it as an MK Ultra, the whole medical school thing. I mean, they basically have you work these crazy hours, expose you to bright light. You don't get to eat in a regular fashion or sleep in a regular fashion. They want to just basically make you into psychopaths. You know, who even knows a doctor anywhere that actually has what's known as a bedside manner, right? I mean, how many doctors are just kind of nothing. Like, has anyone ever gone to see a psychiatrist and they just don't even make eye contact? Like, I've heard stories of people going in there and telling all the issues and problems that they had, and the person didn't even fucking make eye contact with them. Just was going, and then just scribbled out some shit on a pad and said, okay, this is what you need. This is the solution to your problems. I mean, it couldn't get more sterile. I mean, they're already wearing the white coat. I mean, it's such a sterile profession. One of my hopes with Oyid AI is that people understand or comprehend in in droves, you know, in a huge, huge amount of people basically comprehend that allopathy is a hollow hoax. And of course, I'm talking about dis-ease management. I'm not talking about, you know, fixing a broken bone or something like that. I'm not talking about that type of stuff. I'm talking about the dis-ease management, the whole idea of, you know, germs or microbes causing dis-ease. Microbes show up at the scene after dis-ease. Think about this. If you see a rotting animal on the side of the road that's been hit by a car and there are flies buzzing around it, was it the flies that killed that animal, or were the flies showing up after the disease or had basically, of course, death will lead to that, you know, decay of tissue sets in. I mean, it makes so much actual normal common sense that germs don't cause disease, but due to essentially a century of Hollywood movies inculcating us, everything from Escape from New York to Contact, they basically have gotten us thinking this based on visuals. People believe Oyid AI is real based on visuals and, as Terrence McKenna says, small mouth noises. I mean, it's ludicrous. Like, I don't know what's more mind-seeing, the fact that Oyid AI actually is happening or the fact that people believe it's legit. I mean, it's just, I still see people with the costume on. I saw a guy the other day, this was rich, I saw a guy the other day wearing the costume, the blue one with the phthalates, the penis and clitoris shrinking one, and he had the windows up in his car. It was ridiculous. So here is a bit more about narcissism. So that was a bit about the whole validation thing and how they are looking to validate. It's all about them, their validation, their greatness, right? I mean, they don't, to you, they're just disposable. So in a way, if you've ever dealt with this in your life, you could almost tell yourself that it's really not personal. I mean, of course, they tend to be very jealous people in general, just like the UIVs are a jealous race because they are exceedingly aesthetically challenged. But it's just like, I don't even think it's personal with them. I think they'll just do it to anybody who will validate them and make them feel less worthless. They'll do this too, essentially. So maybe if someone has had this happen to them, it just means that you're a good human that's got to hone your chops a little bit more and not allow these people to infiltrate you. And of course, I'm not blaming anyone who's ever been abused or accosted by, you know, someone who's narcissistic or a psychopath, but it's part of the shadow side, you know, learning, going around in this world. I mean, sometimes the nicest people are the ones that get like the brunt of things because they've been receptive to giving people another chance when they really didn't deserve it. So here is another thing right here. Will a narcissist ever back down abusing you because they see how bad it is damaging you? So you would think, being like a normal person, you think, oh, if they see how bad of pain I'm in, like the OIVs say, oh, they see how bad it is for people losing their jobs, becoming ill from wearing the costume, you know, depression, isolation, all this stuff has happened because of OIVs. Oh, they'll allow, they'll back off because they see how bad it's hurting me. No. Quite the opposite. This question indicates a misunderstanding of narcissism, just like it would indicate a misunderstanding of Talmudic techno-theocracy. People keep framing it as selfishness, but they're wrong. Narcissists are socially needy, yet antisocial people. And of course, there are four cluster Bs. And of course, this is a little on the OIV tip to kind of categorize and diagnose everything, but just for the sake of things, the cluster Bs are the personality disorders, which include histrionic, which typically women, like kind of like Scarlett O'Hara, like that type of, you know, from Gone with the Wind, that would be like a famous histrionic. Bipolar, typically women. Narcissism, men, but women as well. And then antisocial personality disorder, typically men. So narcissists are antisocial people. The narcissist is a person who has a need to infringe on the space of others. Oh, who does this sound like? They need to displace you internally. Their boundaries eclipse your own. They require you to submit yourself to their sense of reality. Sounds like OIV AI, sounds like the holohoax, climate change, anti-racialism, veganism or vegetationism. I can go on and on and on and on. If a narcissist hurts you, it offends them that you would make such a claim against them. The Jew cries out in pain whilst he strikes you. Let that sink in. A narcissist requires you to submit to their interpretation of reality. I mean, that is OIV AI in a nutshell. That is OIV AI in a fucking nutshell. And for this picture, or for this post, I had this hilarious picture of this little OIV with like, it's just like a head with like wearing a yarmulke and like legs. And it says, I have no hands, I must rub OIV. But yeah, I mean, this is what it is. This narcissistic abuse that, I mean, how many videos on YouTube have you probably seen over the last couple of years all talking about narcissism? Talmudic ideology is the root of narcissism. And living in this Zayodindu culture, we are everything. Everything is about narcissism. It's their reality. You don't agree with their reality? You must be bad. You've got to be punished. I mean, it's so obvious, right? So part of moving through all of this is getting in touch with this shadow side, realizing that we were born into this abuse, this Talmudic abuse. And that's part of the way that we can set ourselves free, as opposed to just dwelling on gas memes and chuckling at all that crap. I mean, I think the time for that type of stuff is essentially over. And we should really be focusing on spiritual fortitude, nutritional fortitude, growing communities online and in real life. Like, these are the things that matter. I mean, I think going forward, there's going to be a lot of psychological Talmudic sorcery going on, and we really are going to have to stay firm. I mean, you know, they've actually even used holograms to bring Holocaust survivors back. I mean, what if, like, they were able to do something where they beamed, like, a JC into the clouds or something? People thought it was real, or, like, that floating city in China. Like, we're going to really have to be on our A-game psychologically going forward, which is one of the reasons why I'm not focusing on all just the kosher theater. It's ridiculous. It's really kind of lowbrow, especially at this point when there's more important stuff. But one of the things I think to get this honed in kind of razor sharp psychological edge is, of course, eating well. Like, I like to think of myself as just like a cat waiting, like, you know, just sitting, waiting, hunting for like a few hours, just honing in on that focus, but ready to pounce, right? We need to be aware of our environment, but ready to go. Like, that's the ideal, I think, and as opposed to just getting caught up in every divisive distraction that they have out there for us. Keen Rich is saying psychosomatica or kaikosomatica. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they already have tried to hijack the brains of many through their pogroms of psychology, through their pogroms of psychiatry. Psychiatry, of course, being the one that's more deadly, because that's when Dr. Z whips out the pills, right? I mean, everything with Dr. Z is about pills. We've essentially been living in this transhumanism for way longer than just like the 90s when there was chit-chat of cybernetics and things of that nature. We've been in this for a really long time. It's just kind of all coming to rotten fruition right now. But I mean, a lot, vaccination, all of that is transhumanism. Like, it's all transhumanism. And we've all bought into this if we grew up in the allopathic shitstem belief, which I think is a much bigger thing to deprogram ourselves from than Xtianity. Not to say that doesn't take a lot of time to deprogram. It absolutely can and does for many people. For some people, it's a bit different. But this allopathic thing, this is the biggest thing we have to deprogram ourselves from. If people already don't believe the virus narrative, that's like one step already in the right direction. But for a lot of our people, it's still not like that. And now with all the crud of them promoting the idea of genetic dis-ease and all of this crap just pulls people like a rope further back into allopathy, the idea of telemedicine, or what I like to call Talmudomedicine, the idea of those pills that you could actually swallow and they do all the work inside of you. I mean, in a lot of ways, the Oyed AI vaccination kind of seems like that, you know, like what is it going to be for these youngsters who were born to one parent or two parents that took the vaccination? I saw a vid the other day of a youngster that was supposedly born to, I'm not sure if it was the mother or the father or both, that took the vaccination, and the baby was just convulsing and shaking all the time. I mean, are we going to have like a completely like new race of people, just like when they mix like the GMO salmon with like the wild salmon? This is like a different layer of miscegenation. If miscegenation wasn't bad enough and nutritional degeneration wasn't bad enough, now we have this like technological Talmudo screw into everything else. I mean, we're really bifurcating. I think we're triforcating or quadforcating at this point. I think there's going to be different hierarchical tiers, and it's going to happen whether we want it or not. But yeah, that's just my thoughts on that, and just those little posts about narcissism, because I think that that's a microcosmic way that we can look at the entire Oyed AI thing, how we can kind of, you know, work with our shadow. And just because someone has wronged you or fucked you over doesn't mean that, like I said earlier, that you're broken or you're damaged, you're used, whatever. You can move through that. You were born perfect. You may not feel perfect right now, but you can move through that. You can glide through it, and hopefully you'll be able to help other people. This doesn't take away from any of the stuff that happened to you. and it doesn't invalidate what happened to you, but Zog wants us to be victims, right? I'm a victim. Like, look at the things people have, like, on Twitter. I've got X, Y, and Z dis-ease. You know, I use pronouns. You know, this is a whole culture of victimhood, like that broadcasted a while ago called the victim vomit culture. We are not victims. We are Aryans. They want us to be victims. They want us to think if they've hurt us or someone who's maybe our race or another race who's been Talmudicized hurt us, that we're victims. No, we're not. They're the ones that love that victim aura and mentality. Let them have it because it will weaken them eventually. Even in a way they're able to use that holohoax narrative to kind of give themselves some type of false strength. In the end, it will weaken them because if you go around all the time saying, I'm a victim, I was abused, that weakens you. So in a way, that whole idea of, oy vey, 6 million, that's going to blow back at them. I hope it blows back really hard. They deserve it. That is just such a sickening lie. I mean, probably one of the most sickening lie of the last century. And now we're dealing with the most sickening lie of this century. Terrible stuff, this Oyed AI thing. Just seeing people succumb to it. I mean, I just think people just don't want to embrace their shadow. They're afraid to die. It's crazy. Like, they're afraid to die of, quote, the virus, right? Yet they get a vaccination that will enhance their chance of dying. So are you afraid of dying or are you afraid of not following the rules? Like, which one is it? I don't know. It's just, it's a nutty time to be alive. That's why I think we really have to stay on our psychological game, eat well, work out, always communicate with others. Even if you don't have a lot of people in real life, like maybe your family and your friends in real life are just drinking the Kool-Aids, you know, but we have to connect in some way. We have to stay strong. Like we're going to make it through this. I think some of us are going to make it through this. I mean, we've made it through things before. We're all here right now because someone made it through something in the past. That's why we're all here right now. So having that psychological attunement, eating well, fitness, yoga, pranayama, connecting with other humans, so important to connect. Many of us are fractured. How many people have family that doesn't believe what they say? People have family that everyone took the vaccination, right? They think you're the crazy one out, right? It sucks. I know it's lonely and it sucks and it's hard, but be thankful that you were able to see through this. Be thankful that you had the strength and the endurance to kind of battle this, you know, to see through this. Like Zog is always talking about the war on the body, the war on drugs, the war on terror. The only real war is the war against our freedom, our sovereignty, and nature. And they're the ones that are warring people. Like if we ever did war, it was to do war in a real way. It wasn't to psychologically abuse people. Like they have to use all these malicious and nasty tricks to get their way because they really don't have that strength. They have cowardice and they like being victims. But like I said, that victim narrative, you call yourself a victim for all these years, is bound to blow up in your face, and rightfully so, it should. Okay, onwards to something else for the broadcast. Let's just see what I have right here. I have a bunch of just kind of, this will be kind of like a loose broadcast for today. I had a bunch of notes on a lot of stuff, but I don't know. I'm just kind of like doing it off the cuff right now. It was something else I wanted to talk about. This factors into the whole idea of a shadow side. And you know how Big Z is always showing or telling you, oh, we're doing this, when they're really doing that and not showing us the shadow side of it. Well, that's how it works, because if they told you what they were doing, like if they said, oh, by the way, we're going to fake a pandemic. It's been about 100 years since a big pandemic like the 1908 Spanish flu, which, of course, people died from the vaccination. They were spitting in people's mouths and people still didn't get the, quote, virus. OK, so they're like, it's been a century. We've got to do a big pogrom. We need a cleansing. A lot of people have to die. Let's pretend there's a virus and let's force vaccinate people, or tell them we're going to force vaccinate them so we can just, you know, euthanize, you know, a bunch of people. Like if they told people that in the news, nobody would believe it. So they always have to shroud it and not show the shadow or the darkness. But we have to expose that, expose it in them, and also shine the light on our own shadows, because we don't want that shadowy debris basically, I don't know, just muddying up our paths. Because like the older you get, it's not just going to go away. You have to deal with it. Do you want to be 70 or 80 and never dealing with all these problems? Probably not. Probably not. So it's always good, the younger you are, that you can get your health in order, whether that be your emotional health, your physical health, your spiritual health. It's always good to get these things in order now when you're young, right? Or younger, you know, however old you are. But don't wait until you're older, because then you're going to already be set in your ways. So do your shadow work now. Most people listening are probably, I don't know, under 60, I guess, if you're older. That's fantastic. I think people of all ages should listen to the broadcast. But anyway, here's a little picture that I found that I want to talk about next. For you who have, you out there who have seen the film They Live, that 80s film with Roddy Piper, where he puts the glasses on, you know, the They Live glasses on, and he takes them off and he's able to see what's, actually when he puts them on, he can see what's actually happening. And when he takes them off, he cannot. So I have this picture right here. And it shows him taking the glasses off, and it shows all the lovely, lovely things that Big Z has for us in regards to sustainable development, this Jew World Order thing that they're orchestrating. And they're telling us it's, quote, sustainable. Whenever you hear the word sustainable, it means that it is a pogrom, essentially. That's what sustainable means. So here I just want to go through a couple of points. 17 points, and just kind of illustrating with the whole theme of the shadow that they're not showing their shadow, right? They're telling us it's something different. So they tell us, it's kind of hard to read. Okay, they tell us, oh, there's going to be no poverty. And what does that mean? Enacting communism. And they show the little Bolshevik hammer and sickle. So you will own nothing, that type of thing. You know, it's all the whole equalization. This whole thing is about annihilating hierarchy, annihilating beauty, race, order, caste systems. It's all about that, because they want to equalize everything like a Talmudic black cube, because they know they can never, ever compete with us. Number two is zero hunger. Oh, zero hunger. And what is it really about? GMOs, industrial food. One of the reasons we're in the plight that we are in today is because people are hooked on industrial food, Zog food, right? The ZWO diet, the diet of commerce, as Dr. Weston Price referred to it. Number three is good health and well, it's very hard to read, and well, and wellness, good health and well-being. Nope, that's not what it's about. It's about forced vaccinations. Number four, quality education. Nope. Mass indoctrination via the public fooling system. Eat sludge for lunch. Learn that your ancestors were scum. Pretend you're a boy if you're a girl. That's essentially what public fool is. Oh, and get forced vaccines too. Number five, gender equality. You know, they're showing that quote human symbol with the equality. This is all about equality. And it's really to destroy the nuclear family. Absolutely, to destroy the sacred union of man and woman. Number six, clean water and sanitation, water poisoning, fluoride, iron, gee whiz, they have put so many things in the water. Everyone has a water fountain, or like a water filter rather, in their house, and they change it, you see what comes off of that. And yeah, it's even in an area where you think your water is a bit cleaner, like, no, they're putting all types of crap in the water to make people into retardates. Number seven, let's see, what does that say? Clean energy, sterile energy programs, like all the solar panels, and that's a total hoax. They have to cut down trees that offer natural shade in order to put up solar paneling. So much of this green stuff is really fake green. It's not deep green, it's bright green or fake green. Number eight, what does that say? Gosh, it's hard to see these. Let's see if I can make the image a bit bigger. Let's see. Decent work and Economic growth? Nope. Make people into debt slaves. Number nine. Infrastructure. Something about infrastructure. No, and really what that's about is you're going to have no personal transport, so no vehicle. Number 10. Gosh, it's so hard to see these. Number 10 would be something about inequalities. Reinforce something about inequalities. Very hard to see. Reduce inequalities. Nope. Mandate conformity. That's exactly what it's about. So when people are thinking, oh, there's so many different ways we can express ourselves these days. No. It's all just about different cliques of conformity. That's all it's about. Number 11 is sustainable cities and communities. Nope. Mass surveillance. Number 12 is responsible conception and reproduction. Wait, that's not what it says. Responsible corporation and production. And it's really going to be single monetary system. Number 13, clean action, like for the climate action. Nope, climate tyranny. And of course, that's a key part of the OEDAI agenda, is to basically use this climate change crap. I saw something the other day, I don't know if this is satire or not, that said doctors should now be talking to their patients about how to combat climate change. You're going to go to see Dr. Z, and Dr. Z is going to say, stop eating meat. All the cows are just, you know, farting 24/7. You don't want to be responsible for climate change. Stop eating meat. Get your vaccine, right? Number 14, life below the water, like talking about, you know, sea life and the ecology of the sea, controlling the seas, obviously. And if they haven't polluted the seas enough by now, I mean, the ocean's really gotten the brunt of this biophobic agenda. Number 15, life on land. Control the land. Absolutely. That's why that BlackRock Corporation is buying up all that area in the middle of this country. Probably going to turn them into Zog Stack and Packs or Zog CAFOs. What's the difference? It's going to be a concentrated animal feeding operation, whether it's for cows or for graphene goyims, right? Number 16, peace, justice, and strong institutions, as opposed to you have no say in war. And finally, number 17, partnership for goals. Nope, one world government. So essentially, they have to shroud their nasty shadow in all of this stuff because, well, nobody would believe it. Nobody would have anything to do with it if they told you, well, there are some Zogbats out there who actually think, like, forced vaccination and GMO foods and communism are good things. But those entities, I neglect to use the word people, those entities are far, far, far gone. Too far gone. I mean, so is someone like that even able to get rehabilitated, right? Like, I oftentimes think if by something like, let's say tomorrow I just became Chancellor of America and all of a sudden I was in power to make choices and I wasn't basically being like a Zog puppet, I would create these deprogramming institutions for people. I would use like old school buildings or whatever I could use, old churches, whatever institutions we were going to basically phase out. And I would try to deprogram people who believed the OEDAI agenda, deprogram people who believe the transsexual agenda. I mean, I would really need a lot of things. I mean, wow, it would really be intense. But I would try to deprogram people if I could. But if they were incapable or were not basically cooperating, then they'd have to be excommunicated because they would be basically like an albatross on the society, on the healthy society. But yeah, just some stuff there about sustainable development. Nope, it's just the ZWO disguised with this glossy thing. We don't want to see their shadow. Their shadow is gross, you know, but our shadows, even if we're afraid of them right now or afraid of sharing them with other people, like, I think we really have to embrace doing some of this shadow work, right? Because we want to be psychologically like there. We want to be honed in, just completely just there. You know, like we want to really be here now. Like I've talked about on recent broadcasts in the past, being here now is really important. But as the psychological pogroms keep on going on and on and on and on and on, we have to be psychologically centered, staying in that zone. I think that's going to be one of the challenges going forth. Not that we're going to, you know, rescind and fall back into the Oyed AI narrative. No, I don't think it's going to be like that. But we really have to just stay psychologically just here, you know? So I'm going to take a quick musical break and sip on a beverage, and we will be back for the second hour of this broadcast. I am Tabitha. This is White Wellness Radio, honoring our shadow.
Somebody help me.
All right, and we are back. That was the Bee Gees with Stayin' Alive back in 1977. Figure that was a good song to play because we're all trying to stay alive, not just physically alive, but psychologically alive, spiritually alive, mentally alive, psychically alive. Okay, so we are back right now, and I want to start off the second part of this show by talking about a symbol that I have been a fan of for, well, a very long time right now. And it kind of works into the role, I think, of people who are aware of what's going on in this world and kind of rising above it, because we really live in a time of just scum, right? It's a really scummy time, just with a lot of stuff that's going on. But of course, like, you can just be out somewhere, you know, hiking or doing something groovy like that and be like, wow, you know, it's still, life is still beautiful. You know, the beach smells good, the woods are nice, you know, leaves and branches crunching beneath your feet. And that can make you realize that, yeah, the natural world is still amazing. We just have this scourge or pestilence that we're dealing with. So here is a bit about the lotus flower, a beautiful symbol, oftentimes associated with the crown chakra. That would be the seventh chakra in the seven chakra system. So here is a bit about the lotus flower. It means purity. And we live in a world that really poo-poos purity. Oh God, you know, purity. Oh, then sometimes they'll say, some tarots will say like some purity spiral stuff, but I don't really think those people know what they're talking about. So anyway, the lotus flower is regarded in many different cultures, especially in the Eastern religions and, you know, Hinduism and Buddhism, which of course came from Aryan Vedicism, as a symbol of purity, enlightenment, self-regeneration, and rebirth. Its characteristics are a perfect analogy for the human condition. Even when its roots are in the dirtiest waters, the lotus produces the most beautiful flower. So even if we're living in a world where we see people who are physically degenerated due to the diet of commerce and miscegenation, we see gross Judaic architecture, smog wafts in front of us whilst we walk on the asphalt, we still can be the lotus that blooms and is fecundant within all this dirty water, right? Another meaning for the lotus is traveling through the world without being corrupted by it. How hard is that these days? Especially if you're younger, I think it's actually a lot harder. So it's a great symbol, especially looks very beautiful in the color of white, right? Even connotes a bit of white power there. It also has connections to ancient Egypt. Of course, our people were in ancient Egypt too. It appears that that civilization died out because of miscegenation. In Egypt, the flower was known as Sechen and was associated with the Egyptian gods. Because of the way in which the lotus emerged from the water, followed the movement of the sun and then closed back up and returned to the water, only to repeat the process the next day, the lotus was associated with the sun god Ra. Pretty groovy. The ancient Egyptians believed that lotuses were symbolic of creation, rebirth, strength, and power. And in a way, we're all going through some type of rebirth right now, whether we believe in the narrative or not, or if we're willing to kind of acknowledge our shadow side, work through that, get stronger, get better, optimize. We're all going through a Satanama right now. Some of us are going through a positive one. And then some of us, probably not those listening, are going through a negative Satanama. Life, death, birth, rebirth. Perhaps for this reason, during childbirth, Egyptian women tend to wear lotus amulets with a picture of Heket, a goddess of fertility. The lotuses were present in art, hieroglyphics, and paintings to represent fertility, a new beginning, and purity. So we are at a new beginning, I would say, for humanity and for our race as well. And people who decide to believe in Wayid AI, they're at a new beginning too, albeit a fetid and scummy one, not a beautiful and pure one. Other historical references to the lotus can be found in ancient Greece and in the Vedic religions. In ancient Greece, the flower represents innocence, modesty, and purity. References of lotuses in Vedicism can be traced back to at least 1400 BC, so before all that cruddy miasmic monotheism. And it depicts Vedic gods holding or standing on lotuses. Early references can also be found in the Buddhist religion, as the Buddha is often depicted sitting on a lotus. The meanings behind the flower relate to the symbolism of the lotus growing out of the water. And here it is blossoming up, you know, traveling through the world without being corrupted. Like the swamp it grows in may be muddy, but they are beautiful. It's almost like when you're walking around and you're in an environment that's just filled with all the different visual signs of decadence and decay, Talmudic decadence and decay. And there you are, you know, in your power, in your glory, in your optimized Aryan way. And you're like this lotus within the scum and the filth and the Zog fog. It's quite a statement. It'll become more of a statement as time goes on, as the degeneration keeps on going on and on and on and on and on. So the lotus represents spiritual enlightenment. It also represents detachment, as the lotus detaches from the water and the filth that sullies the environment. This symbolism is representative as a reminder to separate ourselves from things that could sully our soul, like Oyedei, and to instead focus on the things that matter: wisdom, relationships, and spiritual enlightenment. And in a microcosmic way, this can mean certain activities, certain people, certain maybe things that you're watching that sully your soul. Detach yourself from it. It's not good for you. It's not serving you anymore. Lotus is also a symbol of the resurrection and the new beginnings. The flower emerges in the morning, only to close up at night and disappear back into the water. In the morning, a new blossom reemerges and continues the cycle. This representation makes the lotus a common flower at funerals. This is also why the flower was popular in Egyptian symbolism. The lotus represents purity and cleanliness and is able to emerge from the murky waters pure and unsullied. The flower represents the purity of the human soul, as the center of the flower is never tainted by its journey, nor is it by the daily exposure to the murky water. So just because you live around scum and you live in this scum society doesn't mean you have to become scum. The lotus flower blooms slowly, one petal at a time, which is similar to the gradual steps required to reach spiritual enlightenment. In this sense, the lotus is a symbol of personal growth. Regardless of the color of the petals, the middle is the typical yellow, which represents the goal of enlightenment. The lotus has been associated with nature and with womanhood. Some representations use a lotus bud to symbolize a virgin. In contrast, a fully grown flower is a mature, sexually experienced female. Something that Zog always likes to say, oh, that's disgusting, that's nasty, women aren't supposed to be doing that. I mean, okay, so only one sex is supposed to be the one that enjoys sex? Okay. It's this whole thing is just such a ridiculous joke. I mean, the whole last 2,000 years is a fucking joke, honestly. The lotus is also an excellent example of remaining true to yourself and who you are. Regardless of the murky waters and environment, the lotus remains grounded, proud of what it is, and still a part of its environment. It beautifies and it makes better simply by being there. And we can be that. We can beautify and make better by simply being there, just by being, just that's an act right there. Like if you're being your optimized self, that is a statement in, you know, the whole miasmic Zog fog of existence. So what a groovy symbol the lotus is. I hope you found that enjoyable, because I sure did. And I love this symbol. I've loved this symbol for, like I said, many years. And I was doing a yoga practice the other day, and it was all about the Vedic goddess Lakshmi. And she's known for being associated with the lotus, as is Brahma and Vishnu. Those, of course, are gods, not goddesses. So it's something that really has a lot of different significance. And it's also used in Sikhism, which, of course, is a religion that basically broke off from the Vedic religion, just like Buddhism and Hinduism, and also Jainism. That's another religion where it's used, another religion that broke off from Vedicism, essentially. So Lakshmi is the Vedic goddess of wealth, and she likes to sit on the the Lotus, actually. She is a mother goddess, and she's associated with wealth and material possessions. Also with luxury, power, purity, beauty, and fertility. I think it's very interesting studying all this stuff. I mean, throughout the years, I've been called like a dothead and a bunch of other things by people who were very ignorant to our roots, but whatever, you know? I mean, those people are probably not addressing their shadow and probably just living in it. So you really don't want to live in your shadow. And maybe when you're younger, you go through these phases where you kind of do live in it. Maybe if you're sad or you're traumatized, but I think you want to move out of a place where maybe you live in a balance of both, I guess is probably the healthiest way to say it. But oftentimes if we're living in it, we're never going to be able to come to terms with it. And that's not really too good, I wouldn't say. But just a bit right there about Lakshmi and a bit about the Lotus, one of the most beautiful symbols. And always remember, traveling through the world without being corrupted by it, that's the main thing I think of when I think of the Lotus symbol. Okay, so onward, a little bit more now for the broadcast. Let's see what else I have to talk about for today's broadcast. Okay. All right, so I think now we will switch to maybe talking about a little bit about nutrition. It wouldn't be a white wellness broadcast without a little chit-chat about nutrition. So all this stuff about the shadow, about the quote sustainable development plan, which is just a pogrom to abuse us, unfortunately, abuse humanity, the flora, the fauna, literally everything, every living thing, not just humans. These agendas don't just affect us, they affect animals, they affect plants, they affect any being, any entity that is on this planet, whether human or not, they affect. But of course, Big Z doesn't care about that. Nope, they never do. And if you wonder why they care about it, it's your fault, right? Just like the whole narcissistic thing later on, it's your fault. How dare you object to me imposing my reality on you? You're to blame, right? I mean, that's as mind-zing as it can get. And of course, the first time you probably encounter that type of just weird and warped belief system, it takes you aback and you're like, what the fuck? Holy hell. You're like, what's going on right now? Right. But, hey, that's what it is. That's what it is in a nutshell. That's why I shared that stuff earlier, because I think it was pretty on point, even for someone like me, who's looked in depth into this topic, perhaps you have as well, and you're well versed in it. But hearing that stuff the other day, I was like, oh. And I actually found that stuff over at Quora, that website, Q-U-O-R-A. Oftentimes, there's some very good stuff there, just written by people. So a good thing to check out, depending on the topic. Although I did see something the other day that was just, oh my God. I was looking the other day just about prognatism, which of course is that jutting forward of the lower jaw, what they sometimes old, racial scientists will call the animal muzzle, very prominent on the Negroid and the Australoid race. Oftentimes you can see this on the Mongoloid race if they happen to be mixed with the Australoid race. But I was going to Quora the other day and looking about a post about prognatism, and they said, oh no, it's, of course, race doesn't exist. That's just racist to think race exists. And they showed a picture of a white person saying that they had prognatism and saying that it wasn't a racial trait. The white person they were showing had malocclusion and had an overbite. So, of course, it looked like the person had prognatism. Prognatism on the races like the Negroid race and the Australoid race and some mixed Mongoloid people, that's a racial biological trait. It is not because of malocclusion. You can go to areas where they have eaten an amazing diet and they have beautiful straight white teeth, beautiful, bone structure for their race, and they still have the prognatism. So it only shows up in the white race when there is some degeneration, typically nutritional degeneration. But it was just mind-zing that they're like, oh, here's a white person that's got cranial facial malformation, they have prognatism too, so it can't be a racial trait. I mean, wow, That's how crazy shit is. They could actually use a degenerated picture of someone of our race and say, oh, this is a universal trait, when the Negro to the Australite person would have it despite eating, you know, a very good, healthy, nutrient-dense diet. Just mind-zing. Mind-zing. And remember, like, that prognatism, like, they actually have an extra bone under the lower mandible, and that is called the simian shelf, that primates have that. That's how I know that some races actually did descend from, like, apes or primates. It wasn't us. It wasn't us. Hearing that my ancestors were apes makes as much sense as hearing that my ancestors were pond scum. It's on par with that type of thinking. I hope that gets exposed too. Like, when I think of all the things I want to see exposed, like, before I leave this world, I'd like to see allopathy exposed, germ theory exposed, you know, en masse, and I'd like to see the out of Africa thing exposed. I'd like to see knowing that, you know, the races really have very different backgrounds, if not the species have very different backgrounds. It'd be great to have those things out in the open for everybody's sake, not just for our race. Oh, and the Hala hoax. I'd love to hear that the Hala hoax was completely, everyone thought that was just, like, you know, the biggest joke in the world. I'd love to see that exposed too. Oh gosh, I guess I have a large list of things I'd like to see exposed, but those are some of my top ones, you know, basically germ theory and out of Africa and the Hala hoax. That'd be great to see those exposed. And the picture I used today for the broadcast, it's a woman who kind of looks like her insides are like a motherboard. I use that photo because that's who they want us to be. They want to have full control of us. They want to do all these nasty and snarly and unsavory things to us. And of course, they'll do it whatever chance they get. That's why I always like to emphasize on this show how important it is to eat well, because when you eat well and you work out, you have that foundation. Like, I know for myself, in times of my life when I was dealing with a lot and felt like kind of just like, I don't know, just like not on my A game and just kind of felt not so great, I always kind of relied on those as kind of like my foundation. Like, it got me through certain things. Maybe you listening have experienced the same thing. So we really need that to be foundational. I mean, there's no reason that any of us should be eating like crap food, you know, like, buy the best food you can based on the money you have available for food or the skills you have available for creating food or bartering, however you are able to procure your foodstuffs. But don't just eat junk because you think the world is going to pot, or you think that no one believes you, or your relatives think you're mentally ill or whatever. Like, you have to take care of yourself. This is bigger than your family. This is your race and the planet, essentially. So it's way bigger than just that microcosmic aspect. So now a little bit about some of the foods that we might want to include. And I'm going to go through this based on nutrients, so you see what nutrients we need, right? And I always think the best way to get our nutrients is from food. And then the second best would be from whole foods, not whole foods, the store, but whole food supplements, supplements that are food-based, not synthetic ones, because we are whole. We are real. We're not synthetic. So that's kind of my my thoughts on that. So here are some foods that I think would really help us. And I was thinking actually about developing something called like the anti-oid AI diet, and it wouldn't be like a quote diet, but it would be a way for people to essentially shield themselves. And a lot of these foods I'm going to mention, these foods can help us with the, you know, all the fucking 5G and all the EMF stuff. It appears that many people who are EMF sensitive tend to be like vegetarians, right? Which makes total sense, because they're going to be devitalized and not as strong and kind of weakly. So it's really important that we get these nutrients. And of course, being a vegetarian is a belief. It's not based on like what the human's actually supposed, just a belief, just an ideology. And I know it better than anybody. I grew up pretty much with that diet. I didn't even know that like regenerative, like grass-fed pastured meat was like a thing until I don't know, maybe like 10 years ago. Like, I thought all meat was from a CAFO. It was all disgusting. All the animals were tortured. Like, that was what I thought. So I, you know, abstained from it for, oh my God, like most of my life. I mean, I grew up with like fish and stuff like that, a little bit of egg, a little bit of, very rarely I had dairy, but I didn't eat poultry till I was like 15, I think. And then I didn't eat beef for the, actually, well, I did eat beef by mistake one time when I was like 8, I think. It was like a bolognese. I just scarfed the whole thing down in the lunchroom. I had no idea that people actually put meat in like tomato sauce. It was just like a foreign thing to me. But I didn't eat like meat, like beef, with my knowledge until I was 24. I had a bite of like, I think, a T-bone at a steakhouse during like a work meal. And it was well done. I was like, oh my God, this tastes like shoe leather. It's totally disgusting. And then years later, I like cooked myself like a, you know, medium rare steak. And I was like, no, this is good. And then I was 28 the first time I had bacon, believe it or not. And people are like, oh my God, bacon's so good. You're missing out. You've missed out for all these years. And I have to say, it's not my favorite food, bacon. I'm not a big fan of smoked foods. So I really wasn't too into that. I'd rather have something like pork belly or prosciutto, but not a big pork fan in general. So anyway, here are the nutrients that we all need, regardless, essentially, of race, sex, age, subrace. We all need these nutrients. And of course, depending on where you're from in the world, it's going to be more comfortable. Like, let's say someone's from like an area where fish is their thing. They're going to be eating mainly fish. Let's say they're from an area where it's got a lot of land for like ruminants. They're probably going to be eating a ruminant heavy diet. So traditionally, people have eaten what's been available. That's essentially what the diet has been. None of this like, oh, I want to, you know, a buffalo chicken burrito at 2 a.m. Like, that's a newfangled thing. And I think a lot of the younger set especially has to let go of that. You have to let go of the idea of constantly eating a different meal. You know, you have to let go of it to be okay with like eating soup for like 5 days at a time. Not to say like it's going to be like stone soup or something like that, but you have to be okay with like eating. Like, I'm okay with eating, like I had miso soup the last 3 days. Like, I really don't eat a lot of soy in general, but I was fixing for some miso soup. So I made it myself and actually made it with chickpea miso. I didn't use soy miso, but I'm okay with eating something for a couple of days. You know, and I think a lot of times the younger set typically is like needs to like, oh, I need nachos or I need sushi or I need a burger. Like, learn to cook for yourself and learn to like not give in to like those junk food cravings. Trash Dove is saying, I'm trying to eat primal, raw steak, raw liver, some fresh fruit, and not much else. How is it going for you? Are you feeling good? I mean, I think that way of eating has a lot of merit, especially with the animal foods, but I feel like it still needs some type of balance depending on the person. Like, not everybody does well with all raw foods. People who have spleen issues are not going to do well with all raw foods, especially if they're at a cold temperature. He's feeling amazing. Okay, I think I'm assuming you're a he. I find that men typically have more luck eating this way than women. Women are a little more sensitive. Like, the littlest thing can kind of throw our menstrual cycle off. Men are way more adaptable and can do easier with stress, and they could also push themselves harder before they realize they've stressed themselves out. So those are all great foods. I eat raw muscle meat. I eat raw liver. I eat fruit. I eat all that stuff, but of course I eat a lot of other stuff too. Like, for example, I like to eat ruminant heart and liver raw, but I like to eat like cooked chicken liver. So, I mean, I kind of mix it up. Like, last week I was doing a lot of fun stuff in the kitchen. I made this duck liver pate. It was so amazing, like so much better than chicken, even though chicken's really good too, but chicken has more of this like minerally kind of flavor. The duck flavor is like just more round, more sweet. It's very sexy. And I actually ate a little bit of that before when I was eating my little meal before the broadcast. And I was also, oh yeah, I made a lamb heart tartare last week. That was so good. I got a couple of lamb hearts from one of the farms I get stuff from, just chopped it up into little pieces using my mezzaluna, which is like a knife or a blade that you just kind of rock back and forth. You could chop herbs with it as well. So I made lamb heart tartare with like a raw egg in the middle and some parsley, some tomato, olive oil, salt and pepper. really good. Heart is very, very high in CoQ10, which is good for your teeth and your heart. Because if you go with the TCM, the traditional Chinese medicinal belief, like cures like, right? So anyway, here are some of the things that we want to focus on eating. So calcium, very important. We don't want to get calcium from pills, unless of course it's food supplement, but here we go. So calcium can be found in milk and other dairy products like yogurt, cheese, kefir, things like that, right? Bone broths have some calcium as well. You can also find calcium in things like pearl powder, if that works for you. You could also find calcium in bone calcium pills that come from fish. So those are ways to boost your calcium. Maybe if someone is dealing with a dairy allergy because of gut problems and things like that, and they can't do the dairy, they could have the calcium in those whole food ways. I would not recommend like a Zog calcium supplement. Number two would be folate, not folic acid, like they put in a lot of these prenatal vitamins, but folate. Liver, especially ruminant liver, is a great source of folate. Beans can be too. Of course, you'd want to well soak them. Typically, lentils are more agreeable for most people. The egg yolk, the yolk of the egg, has folate. Fish, eggs, and green vegetables. And typically, the nutrient loads for the pastured, grass-fed versions of these foods are going to be much higher than just like the CAFO conventional ones. Vitamin B12, liver, shellfish, fish eggs, meat, and eggs. Essentially, a lot of the animal foods are high in B12. Vitamin B6, a lot of people are deficient in this. Raw meat is a great source of B6 because the B6 dissipates when it is cooked. So eating raw meat will get the B6 in, as well as raw dairy, eggs, liver, and bananas as well. I'm not really a banana fan. Other things, vitamin A, very important nutrient, liver, egg yolks, and butter, and that would be both ruminant liver and poultry liver. Lately, I've been doing the poultry liver more because I actually enjoy the taste of that. Many years ago, before I ever had liver, I used to make this vegetarian pate with brown lentils, garlic, maybe a little bit, caramelized onions, and like toasted walnuts. And I used to buzz that whole thing up in the food processor. And then I would eat it, and it very much had the texture and the color that liver would have, right? And I always thought, oh my God, this is really good, you know, poultry liver. And I really liked it. And then years later, I had real poultry liver, and I was like, oh wow, that's why I like it. So it actually, it's so weird. I actually was able to try a lot of these facsimile versions of foods and then try the real one, as opposed to most people like having the real hot dog and then having the fake hot dog. Like I remember growing up and people would say, oh, these tofu pups, these tofu hot dogs don't have that snap. And I'm like, what's the snap of a hot dog? And then I had a hot dog and I was like, oh, it's the outer casing snapping. That's the snap of a hot dog. I get it now. But see, I didn't know any of that. Keen Rich is saying a lamb shank with sliced oranges and melted cheddar. Lovely. I actually, for the first time yesterday, I was cooking some lamb shanks. I got this great new book. Well, it's not new. It's new to me. Somewhat new. I actually bought it a while ago and then I returned it because I was thinking different stuff with food. I've gone through a lot of food moods, if you will, in the last couple of decades. But I bought this book and I got it the other day. It's a Sally Fallon book called Nourishing Broth. Great book. Lots of recipes, stories, just a fun read. And there was a recipe in there for a beef shank broth. But I was like, I've got lamb shanks and I like lamb. So I made this lamb shank broth yesterday. And then tonight, I'm just going to skim the fat off of the lamb broth, which has a real nice wiggle because lamb shank is a very gelatinous piece of meat, which is great. We want to eat all that stuff so we stay nice and juicy and sexy into our golden years. And then I'm just going to do like a lamb noodle soup. It'd be kind of like somewhat maybe like a Western Chinese or like a Central Asian style soup. It's going to be very sexy. I used turmeric and peppercorns and an onion, I think, when I was like cooking it up in the stove, and a bay leaf. And then I'm just going to make like a little bit of a noodle soup. Probably use like rice noodles, some fresh herbs on top, the shredded lamb shank. It'll be good. Okay, other things. Vitamin D. Vitamin D, fish eggs, egg yolks, lard is a source of vitamin D. Of course, pastured lard and butter. And just like with the other stuff, the lard, if it's pastured, will have more vitamin D. The butter, if it's grass-fed, especially if it's spring or summer butter, where the cows get to eat the freshly grown green grass, as opposed to just eating the hay like they do most of the year. The spring and summer butter, like in many traditional cultures, that was the stuff that they would give as a preconception food to men and women, because that was the most nutrient dense. It had the A and the D and all of that, because it was the freshly grown green grass as opposed to the hay. And I'll also note this with vitamin A. I'm talking about retinol, the animal version of vitamin A. I'm not talking about beta carotene, which is in like squash and carrots and sweet potatoes. Most people, especially whites, cannot convert beta carotene into retinol. And oftentimes, just eating like egg yolks and butter and other dairy products, thinking that you're going to get enough vitamin A, we really need to be eating liver. Even if people don't like it, you have to think of a way, I think, just to make it work for you. I heard an idea the other day that actually sounds rather palatable, that you would just grind in some poultry liver into like a meatloaf, like a beef meatloaf. And that's an idea. I think most people wouldn't be able to taste it. Granted, if it was ruminant liver, I think people would be able to discern the taste because it's very strong and minerally. Of course, you could always do stuff like soaking it in milk for a few hours or overnight prior, and that will kind of dissipate some of the taste. Some people do lemon juice, but then that again will kind of fiddle with the textural integrity of the liver. But yeah, we really need to be eating liver. All of our ancestors ate these foods. If you look back, people didn't wear spectacles. People had nice wide jaws without the need for braces. Now a lot of parents just expect, oh, I've got to get braces for my youngsters. You know, this is just the way it is. And orthodonture is not the best thing to do. That actually will lengthen the face and make the person's face longer. That can cause all types of sinus and breathing issues. Oftentimes they want to pull like perfectly good teeth. There's something called orthotropics. That's actually a much nicer option. I wish my parents had known about that instead of getting me braces, albeit I wasn't like disfigured from braces or anything like that. But I think I probably would have had a better result if I had gone the orthotropics route. Trash Dove is saying salt and butter, maybe some hot sauce is fine for me. Yeah, simple like seasonings are all you need with like really good food. Up next is vitamin K2. K1, of course, is in plant foods like green vegetables, like, you know, kale and watercress and stuff like that. Vitamin K2, cheese, especially Gouda, is a really good source of K2. Poultry liver, especially goose liver, is a really good source of K2. The fats in meat as well as eggs. Oh, and I should also mention in regards to liver, the highest source of vitamin A for liver is turkey liver. So even though like they all have it, turkey liver has the highest vitamin A, goose liver has the highest K2, albeit those are somewhat hard to find. You'll have a much easier time procuring the ruminant livers like the beef and the bison and the lamb and the calf, and the poultry livers like the chicken and the duck. Up next is choline. I've talked about choline in the broadcast in the past. Egg yolks and liver. So oftentimes you're eating one of these foods, like liver, and it's giving you the bang for the buck all across the board, right? Zinc, totally important. Red meat, liver, fish, eggs, oysters. Very good source of zinc. Sources of iron. Of course, this would be heme iron. Many of us have too much iron, synthetic iron, in our tissues from growing up on the industrial Zog commerce diet, you know. Breads, pastas, crackers, waffles, it was in everything. And now I see they're actually putting it into the gluten-free food. So there they go, poisoning that. Albeit the gluten-free foods, most of them are poisoned. Anyway, if you're going to not eat gluten, you just don't eat gluten. You don't eat gluten-free foods. So iron, liver, red meat, egg yolks, those are sources of heme iron. And Big Z is putting non-heme synthetic iron into those tranny burgers, which are... It's so ridiculous how people will be like, oh, it tastes just like meat. We're not eating it for the taste. We're eating it for the nutrients, and the taste is a benefit. That's how it works. Oh, the taste. I'm obsessed with the taste of something. It's so shallow. Iodine. Fish, eggs, seafood, and butter. Also, seaweed is a good source of iodine. And then probiotics. I don't really recommend probiotic pills. I think most of those are just a waste of money. And I think also they're putting in different strains that actually certain strains are known to induce depression in people. If you want probiotics, just eat raw animal foods or eat fermented animal foods. Have some kefir once in a while. Have some high meat. If you like a little bit of, you know, fermented vegetables, have a little bit of that. You know, if you want probiotics, I'm not really a big fan of taking the probiotic pills because you really can't discern what is in there. Oftentimes there's, like I said, strains that cause like depression for people. And of course, wouldn't that just be what Big Z wants? You think the pill is helping you and it's like, you know, inducing like, you know, low mood. I mean, it sounds like something I would like. So those are things, nutrients that we all need in our diet. And of course, we don't just want to eat one food group. I'm a big believer of including all the macronutrients, carbohydrates, lipids, and proteins. We need them all. You have to find out what ratio is going to work for you. Maybe you need more carbohydrates. Maybe you need more lipids. Maybe you need more protein. Maybe on the days that you work out, you need more carbohydrates. You know, maybe on the days that you're recovering, you need more lipids and protein. You know, maybe if you're feeling sickly, you need to eat more broths and fluids and warm foods and things like that. Like, I mean, if you're going to be eating a lot of these raw foods, I would always suggest to kind of warm them up to room temp. So if I'm going to make myself like a hot tartare or drink a glass of milk, I take it out of the fridge and I let it get to room temp, and then I will eat it. I don't really think we're designed to eat a lot of cold foods. Maybe with the high meat, someone was mentioning in the White Wellness Telegram last week, like with the high meat, that's such a small little thing. And most people aren't like eating all their meat high. So if you're gonna do that, that's probably okay to eat cold. And then stuff like the jellied things, like, you know, like the Aspix and the Jell-O, those you kind of have to eat. Well, not ice cold, but if you leave them out for too long on the counter, depending on the weather, you'll just get like a, it will liquefy. Like I did a party like a few weeks ago and I had made these aspic canapes with like aspic and like liver and eggs. I think it scared a lot of people at the party actually. But anyway, after a while, it all just started to like, it went from like wiggly to like liquid. So stuff like that, like if I'm going to have like a piece of Jell-O or something or a piece of pate with like aspic on top, like I'll still take it out of the fridge and I'll let it warm up. And I think you get way better digestion, way better blood flow, better circulation, better everything when the food is room temp, because it kind of just like chills your body. And that's not really what we want. I think it's actually could be somewhat metabolically suppressive as well. Trash Dove says, my bestie gave me some kefir and high meat. Not bad, actually. Yeah, it depends. Some high meats are more disgusting than others. Like I feel like I've done sirloin and, well, I've done a bunch. I did sirloin and then I did heart, like beef. That was pretty good. The liver got really weird. It got like really squishy because liver is just kind of squishy. The spleen was super weird. That was like such a weird looking. The spleen is a weird organ in general. I'm not a big fan of it. I could imagine that a kidney, because kidneys have that kind of uric, like almost like pissy kind of smell. I can imagine a high kidney would be, that would be pretty intense. And if anyone's ever done high fish before, yowza. Fish gets really like ammonia-esque really, really quickly. I think I did like halibut, I think it was, a while ago, and I had eaten some of it raw. And it actually made me feel kind of itchy. So it was like kind of like a detox. And then I decided to high the rest of it. And it smelled so gross. I was like, I'm not eating this. I just can't do it. So it was raw. I mean, like just, it was really like a rank smell. Crazy stuff. So I think that's all I have for the broadcast for today. Just looking through my notes. I think we've covered a lot. We talked about the salt balancing spell. We talked about OID AI, the freedoms and the choices. We talked about narcissism and abusive tunnel vision. We talked about, quote, sustainable development. We talked about the lotus and kind of, you know, rising above the scum. And we just talked about some foods, some anti-OID foods, some foods that will protect us from 5G, that will make us psychologically strong. And they're tasty too. Real food tastes good. That's the thing. Like, when you eat real food, it's tasty, it's healthy. Like, no one wants to eat stuff that tastes like cardboard or looks worse. Like, we were born to enjoy life and to have, like, it's supposed to, food's supposed to be pleasurable, right? Things are supposed to, it's not supposed to be pain, you know, like, but that's the way it is, you know, it's, and it doesn't have to be that way. If it's that way for you right now, no, it's not temporary. No, it's, know that it's temporary. It's temporary. A lot of things in this life, they feel permanent, but I can tell you from experience, they're temporary. Epiphany is saying, never a bad show. I wish everyone was open enough to listen to your podcast. So I appreciate that. That's very kindly of you. I would hope so. I've actually even thought of kind of like maybe trimming down some of the language and maybe just, you know, just making it more palatable and appetizing for other people. Because I mean, anyone who listens to this, you guys know I'm not a hateful person. I'm not a nasty, negative, mean person. I got into doing this because I had a desire to stop the white genocide agenda. I had a desire to make our race as healthy as possible. And I figured if I had some knowledge, I wanted to put it out there for people. Like my intentions with this show have always been based on help, health, and healing. That's always my intention. Well, thank you, Keen Rich. I'm glad you liked it. Thank you, OG. So I guess I'll be signing out so I can start making that lamb noodle soup. I am Tabitha. You are listening to White Wellness, honoring our shadow, and have a lovely Wednesday. I guess at this point, it being the second to last day of the month, I will see everyone in October. Okay, signing off, everybody.